Smarter, quieter, safer. Garage doors redefined. Discover more at 4ddoors.com.au. Kogan credit cards. No annual fees, amazing rewards, and complimentary Kogan First membership.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Oh, it's a good day, Wisp. We've had a good day. We can sense it. We can feel a bit of an uplift in the mood here in Melbourne. Send us through if your local cafes, like Sadie Black Cat Cafe in Albion is buzzing.
Yep.
Send them through. We'll read out as many as we can between now and 8 o'clock. Give the local businesses a bit of a shout out. Give them a pump up. Get down and support them. So it's up and it's happy. Everyone's happy. The weather's out. The nice sun's out too, so it's great. And it's Cox Plate weekend. So what more could you want, Whispers?
What more? I'll tell you what more you could want. Mm-hmm. You could want a little bit of Bruce McAvaney in your morning. That's what you could want.
Last Friday just got us into the weekend magnificently, and he's back. All the spring action from Cox Plate Day at Moonee Valley and the Invitation Day at Randwick, live and free on Channel Wisp, as I call it, Channel 7 and 7 Plus from 12 o'clock tomorrow. Bruce, you'll be front and square, and he's been good enough to join us this morning. Bruce, good morning.
Good on you, Gary. You too, Tim. A good day for Melbourne, eh? A good day for Australia.
Yeah, a great start. We can sense the mood starting to lift, and it was great racing last week. It was absolutely sensational. You flagged that the Everest into the Caulfield Cup was as good a day of racing as we could hope for. Let's hope we get similar tomorrow. Before we jump into that, we were talking the trots yesterday. I'm a bit of a trotting man, and Tim said, listen, Bruce has covered all of those. Did you get your first start doing the trots or the dogs, or did you go straight to the racing?
No, it was a trot. Timmy knows me well. So, yeah, no, harness racing, that's how I started off, and then with the dogs and the gallops to follow. But, yeah, no, I was crazy about them. I don't follow them as closely, but, yeah, spent a lot of my time at places like Days Road Track and Globe Derby Park and Wavell before that in South Australia. So good times, Gary, good times. And we saw some great horses over the years. Paleface, Adios, and Hondo Grattan and all those horses, eh?
Were they your favourites, those two?
They were up there, Tim. I mean, Paleface Adios, he won over 100 races from memory. And look, Maori's Idol, I called one of Maori's Idol's early races, and I called Popular Arms sort of first race against Gamelite in South Australia in the Derby. That was crazy. Poppy was probably just about the best horse I saw, I reckon. But look, when I was younger, Hondo Grattan and Paleface Adios and those horses were near and dear. So, yeah, no, I used to have their photos on the wall and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, that was my horse racing before that, but as a sort of teenager, and then my first calling was in trotting.
I think, Bailey Smith, the Bulldog, I think he's the new Poppy. He's got Popular Arms. I saw him on Instagram yesterday, Bruce. Gee whiz.
Hey, Tim, he's got everything. I've got a 24-year-old daughter, and suddenly she's really interested in football.
Hey, Bruce, explain to us, and we, as I said last week, we like racing, but we love it at this time of year. We immerse ourselves into it, and I'm sure there's a large section of our listeners who are the same. Tell us about the Cox Plate, where it sits into the... I know Jared Waitley always says it's his favourite race, but to wait for eight, can you just give the basic insight into what the day is about and what makes it so special?
It's been really interesting, Gary and Tim, because it started in 1922, so, you know, it's a newer race, so to speak, than the Melbourne Cup and the Caulfield Cup. And for many years, it played second fiddle to the Moonee Valley Cup. So I was born in 1953. When I first heard about the race, it was really on Moonee Valley Cup Day. So it was, you know, Farlap was the first to win two in 1930-31 period. So it had great horses winning it, but it really, really took off probably in about the 70s and 80s in terms of prize money, its elevation to a genuine major. It was always there for the best horses, but the hype surrounding it is reasonably new. It is unquestionably the championship race. I mean, if you win the Cox Plate, you're considered the number one middle distance staying horse in the country. The prize money fits it. All the history that goes with it from those early days and those great horses. And you feel like it's a badge of honour, A, to get a start and to win the race. So in Australian racing, we have four majors. Chronologically, the Caulfield Cup, the Cox Plate, the Melbourne Cup and the Golden Slipper. They're all very different. The Everest has certainly joined them, I think, in the short years it's been going. But there's only one other weight for age race that I think comes close to the Cox Plate, and that's the Queen Elizabeth in Sydney. But it is still the Cox Plate that is the championship race, and we see that again tomorrow. So for a lot of owners, it's the one race they want to win above all others.
And Moonee Valley, does it add to it? I mean, it's a unique setup. It's an amphitheatre sort of, so the crowd sits over the top of it. The actual track itself lends itself to a different style of racing. Does that add to the day?
makes a big difference, a huge difference. That pre-race entertainment, the fact that you can almost touch those horses. The race itself has a different shape to it. You feel like they go earlier, they make their runs earlier than normal. And part of that's because of the, obviously, the very short straight. It's a 200-metre straight, whereas, you know, Flemington's twice as long and Caulfield almost twice as long. So it is a very different feel. And along, you know, along the school side of the course, things really happen. Now, the crowd envelop themselves. Now, we're not going to have that, unfortunately, tomorrow, but we will get that back. And then, of course, after the race. So, yeah, it is the track. It's everything that goes with it. It's a select field. It's a smallish field. We know the horses generally so well. They've often come back to run it in for a second or third time. So, look, it's just the whole sort of cocktail that works so brilliantly. And there's something. I always... You can't manufacture, and I talked about this last week with the Everest. You know, you can promote as much as you like, but you can't manufacture a feeling you have. And for me, the Cox Plate, when they're behind the barrier and about to go in, it's a really special feeling. You really feel like a heavyweight champion's about to be crowned, and that's just the way it is.
Talking to Bruce McAvaney. Bruce, your top three Cox Plate moments, what are they? I'm thinking maybe 1986 will be one of them.
You've got it, Tim. And look, you guys asked me this morning. I thought, well, I've got to do the ones that I was actually there. I mean, Kingston Town Can't Win was, oh, God, but I was in Adelaide. That was just extraordinary. But so I'm looking at the ones that I've actually been at, and I called the Bone Crusher race in 1986. So just quickly, in 1986, there was a massive build-up. Bone Crusher, we'd seen in Australia quite a bit as a three-year-old in Sydney and a four-year-old in Melbourne. He was unbeatable, and yet New Zealand thought they had one that was just as good. Both these horses from New Zealand called Waverley Star, both chestnuts. You know, I went to track work all that week. Everybody was just going crazy about these two horses. And, of course, the race itself was just remarkable. They took off a long way out, these two horses, and they, you know, singled themselves out. And Bill Collins produced that incredible line that Bone Crusher races himself into racing immortality. So that was as good as it got, I reckon. At the time, I don't think I'd seen a better race.
And it has become part of our the vernacular as well, Bone Crusher, our Waverley Star. Whenever there's two people in a race or it's two horses in a race, and that's the thing that we think about straight away. What about the mighty Maccabi Diva? We remember her for three Melbourne Cups, of course, but she also dominated this race.
She did, Gary, and this was a really significant win for her. So she'd already won two Melbourne Cups, and this whole spring of 2005 was all about her, and she'd lost just one race during the spring. She'd had three starts going into the Cox Plate. She was a hot favourite, but she hadn't won. She'd won the Australian Cup and she'd won a Tanker, but this was another step up in a way. I mean, we knew she was this incredible handicapper that had developed into a weight for age horse, but could she win the championship? And the vision, and you guys probably remember, the whole field sort of spanning across the track. It was like a tsunami wave, and Bossy was sitting on Maccabi Diva about eight or nine wide coming to the turn, and away she went. And then, of course, a week and a half later, she was to win that third Melbourne Cup. It was amazing. That her Cox Plate was just remarkable. It was one of the spine-tingling moments. It really was.
And I know it'd be cruel to try to get you to split Winx's four wins, so do you just put them in as a collective?
Well, we do. The first one, we knew her. But she came down and she beat two world-class horses and broke the track record. She won by four lengths. The second time she came down, there was a horse called Hartnell that was absolutely flying, and we weren't sure. And she beat him by eight lengths. Mm. It was the biggest margin ever. So in her first Cox Plate, she runs a record. In her second Cox Plate, she wins by the biggest margin ever. In the third Cox Plate, on the turn, Humidor loomed up and looked like he might beat her. And then she fought him off, and again she ran a race record. And then the fourth one, to beat Kingston Town. Could she do it? And, of course, she beat a horse called Ben Battle, who's continued to run well in Europe. So it's a collective with Winx, and it was a build-up, and we kept thinking it might be the last time we saw her. So, look, she's immortalised, of course, and I've never seen anything like her. The difference between Winx and all the other great horses, I've seen horses race as well as Winx singularly, but I haven't seen them do it over the period of time, and she won 33 consecutive races. So I reckon, for me, it's Bone Crusher in 86, Maccabi Diva in 05, and the Winx Quadrilla, I guess, 15 through to 18.
Oh, always good to go down memory lane. We're going to all be watching tomorrow the Cox Plate. Let's talk about Zaki. Can the form be rediscovered?
I think so. Look, for those that don't know, he was a pretty good horse in Europe. He came out here, Annabelle Neesham, this young trainer who's taken she's the new gay, so to speak, the new gay water. And he won five consecutive races. He looked like being the world beater. And he was beaten at his last start. And there is a question mark, but James McDonald's come down to Ronnie. Tim, in a really tough race. I mean, I think the track will suit him. He's going to be up near the lead. I think he'll make a run for home, a fair way out. And I think the slightly softer track at Mooney Valley is going to suit him. So he's a massive chance. But there is a question mark about him. He would have been an odds-on favourite had he won at Caulfield a fortnight ago. So there is a question mark, but he's got the right jockey. I think he's certainly got the right trainer as well. And I think he still has the right profile. So he's one of the top chances.
And so he's coming off a less than what we come to expect from a performance, and Very Elegant's the same, who, you know, maybe a month ago it would have been much shorter than it is at the moment on the back of one relatively poor run.
100%, Gary. And Chris Waller talked about this yesterday. This would have been a Waverley Star Bone Crusher battle had they both won at their last start. You know, Very Elegant, she's won 9 Group 1. She's the horse of the year. She's an unbelievable racehorse. She's won, you know, Caulfield Cup. And this will be a defining moment for her, though. This will make her a true champion if she can win tomorrow. Zaki's still got a bit to do to be a true champion, even if he wins. But for Very Elegant, a bit like Nature Strip last week, this is her crowning moment. So it's a massive race for her. And, of course, the thing that's interesting is that James McDonald's ridden it all the way through her career, basically, and now he's on Zaki. A bit of that's to do with the owners of Very Elegant didn't think James could come down and all that. So if she can turn it around tomorrow, and she can, because there were excuses, everything wasn't quite right. She didn't travel down all that well, I was told, from Sydney to Melbourne. And Chris Waller's a genius, and I think he's got her right. So she's been heavily back this week. She's been very heavily back. So she's the third favourite at the moment. And the second favourite's Animo, guys, who's a 3-year-old for James Cummings. And he's got everything to say that he could win this race. He's a Caulfield Guineas winner, and he's just a quality animal. He's a great 2-year-old, and he might be an even better 3-year-old.
And did we see the Melbourne Cup winner win the Caulfield Cup last weekend?
I think so. He's been given probably, I think Greg Carpenter's not been kind. I think he's been astute with a kilo and a half. He's got 57. It was breathtaking. It was mind-blowing. It was one of the races of all time. I hope he wins. He's public property, guys. It happened to Martin Power in 1997. It happened to Maccabi Diva, probably through a collection of wins. It happened to Winx. But singularly in one race, Incentivise went from being a star in racing terms to public property, and that's what it is. And that's what this Melbourne Cup, I think, needs. You know, 10,000 people going there, opening up of Melbourne. It's a bit like Farlap in 1933, the Depressions. We need something to lift us, and I think this horse now is the public property that we were looking forward to, and I reckon every man and his dog's going to be backing him on Tuesday week or whenever it is. The first Tuesday of November, I know when Tuesday was.
Will you be whacking on the SW23 and heading off to the races or not?
I'll be stuck in Adelaide, unfortunately, because I can't get back so quickly, but I'll certainly be watching. But I think he'll win. I do think he'll win.
And did you give us a tip for the Cox Plate, the big three horses?
Gary, in a nutshell, there are three horses we know well, Zaki, Very Elegant, and Animo, I reckon. There are two that we've never seen before, and that's been a pretty good recipe in recent years, State of Rest and also Gold Trip. So, and then there's a couple of other horses like Probabil. But I'm going for Zaki to beat Animo and Very Elegant. So I'm going to stick with the locals, so to speak.
We'll be watching Channel 7. You set up the weekend beautifully for us, Bruce. It's a great pleasure and privilege to have you on our show on a Friday. We appreciate it.
No, I've enjoyed it, guys, again. All the best. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Macca.
The great Bruce McAvaney. A racing preview for McCafe Iced Coffee. Get your morning coffee ice cold with McCafe Iced Coffee. It's real coffee, real cold. He done a bit of homework there. See, when your boss comes, well, he's not your boss, but when your man comes on, you do a bit of extra homework, don't you?
I do.
Got your head out of that Medicare app and you start.
I'm going back to it, though.
What
did you say? I was just going back to it again.
On what we're supposed to be doing.
I've got the government on the line now.
They are our official obligations.
Federal Health Minister on the phone.
Done for the day. We're handing our Fun Friday show over to you. Give us a call wherever you are. You might be out and about. You might have gone to a coffee shop. You might have had a few beers at the pub late last night. You might be going to get a haircut, whatever it is on this semi-freedom day.
Or you might be just swiping left or right too.
Whatever it is you're doing, give us a call. 1-300-736-736. Let's go to Sportsbet.